Look, I read on the BBC yesterday coverage of a report which had been published by The Lancet, saying in very sort of brief and quite crude terms that millions of people are dying from drug-resistant infections around the world. One of the authors of that report, Professor Ben Sartorius, who is a global health epidemiologist with Oxford University, is on the line to us now. Ben, good afternoon. Thank you very much for making some time for us.
Hi, John. Yes, thank you very much for having me on.
Well, I mean, what's the scale of the problem? And then perhaps what is the trend in this problem? Is it accelerating ever upwards?
Yeah, so the present study, which to our knowledge is sort of the first comprehensive assessment of global AMR attributable antimicrobial resistance attributed to priority bacteria, suggests that in 2019 there was almost 1.3 million deaths that could be directly attributed to these pathogens. And just to put that in context, if we look at other estimates for other leading pathogens like HIV and malaria, this number exceeds the number of deaths that were estimated for those pathogens in the same year. In terms of the acceleration, in anecdotal and other evidence suggests that resistance is an ever-increasing problem, both globally, and hence this problem is likely to become greater in future years if we look at other projections from other notable studies.
And is it globally spread, or is it one of these things where it's worse in the developing world than it is in the developed world?
Yeah, so if we look at the sort of attributable death rates from bacterial antimicrobial resistance, we're seeing highest rates of death in some of the poorest geographies. So if we look, a large proportion of the highest death rates were observed in sub-Saharan Africa, as well as South Asia. Whereas we're seeing the lowest death rates attributable to AMR in the higher income countries. So there is some heterogeneity in terms of the death rates that we're seeing from this.
And can you, in layperson's language, in a relatively short time, tell us why this is a problem? Too many antibiotics being prescribed when they shouldn't be, and too many people not finishing those courses of antibiotics, or is it more complicated than that?
Yes, I mean, that is a large part of the problem, but there's sort of a multitude of factors that are impacting this. But one major issue is misuse of antibiotics in particular regions. In some settings, it's also a lack of access to sort of key second and third line antibiotics, especially in sort of more resource poor settings where, the pathogens that a lot of the patients are presenting with are extensively resistant to first line, so they have poorer treatment outcomes if they do not have access to those sort of second or third line antibiotics. But then there's also issues if we look at it in terms of just basic infection prevention and control and improving that across geographies and increasing access to vaccines. There's the infrastructural issues like water and sanitation, which if you don't have that in place, you have a lot more community infections, which then also drives up, resistance as a result. So it's a multifactorial issue that's sort of driving it around the globe. And then there's some nuanced differences across geography, which is important from a policy perspective.
And in terms of what needs to be done about it, do we have a case where there are efforts to get this under control, but although well-meaning, they're misplaced? Or is there a sense of people are just throwing up their hands at the problem? And I know that in the paper that you co-authored, you do make some recommendations as to what needs to be done to bring this under control and reduce the number of people who are dying from this cause.
Yes, certainly, John. The one issue is global health spending needs to increase for AMR to bring it more in line with other infectious disease, of proportionate magnitude. I think that is one sort of gap that needs to be addressed. More investment in the pipeline to develop new vaccines and antimicrobials. If we look in the last 20 years, there's sort of there's a smaller number of new antibiotics that have come into that have been approved compared to the 1980 to 2000 period. So that needs to be accelerated along. And there needs to be a taking national action plans in which for antimicrobial resistance, which are in place in many settings but not really properly operationalized. So it's needing to make more investment in terms of improving infection prevention and control in hospitals, reducing hospital-acquired infections, you know, improving basic infrastructure in communities, but also trying to monitor and reduce consumption in the production of animal, in terms of if we look at animal production, there's also misuse of antibiotics, which then can spill over into human populations, but also improving stewardship and the rational use of antibiotics and reducing misuse in particular settings.
And is this something that you think the policymakers and the health authorities are taking seriously? Or is that a mixed picture? In some places they are, and in other places, even though they have the resources to tackle this, they're not doing it properly. How would you characterize the medical and medical policy world's response to this issue?
Yeah, I think if we look at some of the some of the findings were presented to health ministers in the G7 over. So I think the estimates, because there sort of hasn't been a comprehensive set of estimates to date quantifying the sort of magnitude of this problem. We're hoping that these estimates would sort of catalyze more of a proactive stance going forward, you know, highlight this more to the policy on the policy front and increase global health investment in the coming period, especially now in the COVID pandemic period, where it's still unclear as to what the effect COVID will have on antimicrobial consumption and then subsequent resistance. So it's an important priority, but it does seem to be that hopefully these findings will bring this much more in line with other global health priorities.
Thank you very much, Professor Ben Sartorius, who's a global health epidemiologist at Oxford University. And if you were saying what accent that, yes, it is. It is a South African accent. Professor Sartorius started his academic career. I don't know if he started his academic career, but a large part of his postgrad academic career was at the University of KwaZulu-Natal.